Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places. The first place is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 14, and then our text from Luke chapter 18. But we're going to begin reading from Luke 14. You can find the scripture reading on the back of the insert in your bulletins. On one side is a outline of this morning's sermon. Then on the back you have the scripture reading from Luke 14, which is at the bottom. I'll be reading that first, and then Luke 18, there you see at the top. So let's begin today reading from God's Word from Luke 14, the verses 7 through 11. This is God's Word. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, and when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And then from chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, the verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Thus the reading of God's word from the Gospel of Luke chapter 14 and chapter 18. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, as you look at this familiar parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, it's important that you understand the particular structure of our text. We call that, in the Greek language, a chiastic structure, which helps us understand the point of the parable. And I've put that structure for you on the back of your outlines in between the scripture readings. A chiastic structure means that by way of repetition, our text starts out sort of at the bottom of a mountain, and it builds its way to a peak, and then it comes down the other side again of the mountain. And it helps you to understand what the key point of the passage is. You look, as you seek to understand the structure, what the peak of the structure is, which helps you understand the main point. In our text today, as I've put it before you there on the back of our outlines, our text begins with an introduction in verse 9 and a conclusion at the end of verse 14. And then in the middle, you see, by way of repetition, a movement that builds to a center and to a peak of our text. In verse 10, we read that two men went up. On the other side, in verse 14, we read that two men went down. In verse 11 and 12, we read that the Pharisee stood and he prayed. In verse 13, we read that the tax collector stood and then he prayed. And what is at the center or at the peak of this particular text is the contrast that takes place between the two prayers. The Pharisee who prayed and the tax collector who prayed, and the contrast as they stand before God in the content of their prayers. Now you say to yourself this morning, well, this is interesting, but how does this structure help us to understand the parable? It helps us to understand the main point, because so often this parable is often used to teach us or to be preached on concerning prayer and the proper attitude that we must have towards God in our personal prayers. And while prayer is one of the themes of the parable, as you'll see by way of the structure, it's not the main point. The main point is found in the contrast, in the content of the two prayers of the two men. The Pharisee who comes before God and before the temple of God's sacrifice, exalting himself by his works. And the tax collector who comes before God and the temple sacrifice in humility because of his sin. And so let us begin this morning, first of all, with the similarities between the two men. On your outlines, I've laid there for you under point A some of the similarities that we see. For these two men have things in common. One similarity we see in our text is that they are both going up to the temple, the place where the people worshiped God, to pray. Now, as I said sometimes, this parable has been taught or proclaimed in such a way that the focus is on the individual prayers of the people, a contrast in terms of how individuals should pray. But as we see here in our text, these two men are going up to the temple to pray. They're not praying in their own homes or apart from the temple, but as they go to the temple in verse 10, it tells us they are going there to participate in a prayer which would be for the people. And yes, they are doing individual prayers, but they are doing individual prayers at the temple, at the place of worship. And we see this taking place at other places in the Gospel of Luke, in particular in chapter 1, when Zacharias is about to go into the temple to offer the incense before the Lord, and all the people are standing outside at prayer while he offers the incense. As both men are going to the temple, they are going to the temple to pray, most likely during the time of either the morning sacrifice or the evening sacrifice. As the sacrifice is offered, the people would gather outside the temple to pray individually, not having a corporate leader, but as individuals, as the sacrifice was offered, the people of God would stand outside and pray. Both men are doing that. We also see a commonality in that both of them, we're told, are standing when they pray. In verse 11, we're told that the Pharisee stood to pray. In verse 13, we're told that the tax collector stood to pray. And thirdly, a commonality we see is that both of them go down from the temple to their home. We see that in verse 14. Both men, we're told, went down from the Temple Mount to his house. They both returned to their homes. So in the course of the parable, the commonality is both of them go to the temple, both of them stand as they pray, both of them return back from the temple where they worship God, having finished their prayer, going back to their home. Those are the commonalities between the two. But we also see here in this parable differences between the two men. And the differences are highlighted more than the commonality. The commonality helps us understand that they both understood that they needed to worship the Lord, that they both needed to go to the temple to worship the Lord, that they both knew about praying to the Lord, but that's where the differences come in. The first difference we see is the position of the two men when they pray. In verse 11, we're told that the Pharisee, in that verse, the Pharisee standing by himself prayed. Now, as we think about how the prayers were done at the temple, during the time of either the morning or the evening sacrifice, you can picture a group of people gathered outside like we see in Luke chapter 1, and they're praying while the sacrifice is being offered, bringing their individual prayers as a group, as a body. But now we're told that this Pharisee is standing by himself. In other words, he is standing by himself apart from those others that are praying. The implication being that at the temple of God, where two times a day people are gathering to pray at the morning and evening sacrifice, the Pharisee is separated from the rest of them as if he is in front of them, or if perhaps he is offering his prayer as if it is greater or more important than their prayers. In his standing off, it likely means that he wants the others to see that he is praying. And there he prays in that way. In contrast, we have the tax collector. And in verse 13, we're told that the tax collector is standing, but this time it tells us he is standing far off. Far off from the rest of the group. Far off from all those who have gathered before the temple and before the place where the sacrifice is being offered. He is standing far off from the temple and from the rest of the people who are praying. And he stands off not because he wants to stand out. He stands off because he doesn't think he is worthy to be there to pray. He's a tax collector. Tax collectors, according to the Pharisees, we've seen it over and over in the Gospel of Luke, they were considered the worst of sinners. Tax collectors worked for the Roman government. Tax collectors were busy collecting taxes against their own people, the Jews, on behalf of the hated Roman government. They had, according to the Pharisees and other Jews, betrayed their country. At times, they would use their position as tax collectors not only to collect taxes for Rome, but they would keep some of that money for themselves, overcharging their own people for taxes. And when the people didn't pay, sigging the Roman government on them to enforce it. This tax collector knows he's a sinner. He knows he doesn't deserve to be in the temple. He stands afar off in contrast to the Pharisee who stands up and wants to stand out. But now look at their prayers. And remember in the structure of our text, we said there's a point to this parable, a point that it builds to, a contrast between the content of the prayers of the two men. And look how the Pharisee begins his prayer in verse 11. God, he prays to God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. You see, he starts out in his prayer not speaking about himself or his unworthiness for being present in the or being in the presence of God in his temple. Instead, he talks about others. In fact, he's describing in the first part of his prayer the tax collector. He is thanking God that he's not like the tax collector. And again, as he identifies the tax collector, notice how it's worded. Or like, he says, this tax collector. In other words, he is standing out and pointing to others that are there praying. And as you look at the rest of that verse, he could be speaking about the tax collector throughout all of those who he compares himself to. Extortioners. That's what tax collectors did. They were extortioners. Unjust. That's what tax collectors were viewed as being unjust in how they dealt and overcharged even their own people. Adulterers, we don't know whether the tax collectors were involved in that kind of thing, but adulterers were certainly considered the worst kind of sinners they could be. And so the Pharisee starts out thanking God that he's not like one of those terrible sinners that everybody knows are terrible sinners in the eyes of society. But then in verse 12, he prays in his prayer about himself and his own evaluation of himself compared to those terrible sinners. And in Jesus' parable, what is this Pharisee's evaluation of himself as he stands before the temple and the sacrifice is being made? I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Now, the Old Testament law required fasting, but fasting, according to what is written in the Old Testament law of Moses, was only required one time a year on the Day of Atonement. The Pharisees had lived out a piety in which their fasting was, as the Pharisee describes here, two times a week. In other words, Lord, I've gone even beyond what you require in your law in my devotion to you. I don't just fast once a year. I fast as many times as two times a week. And then he goes on to describe his tithe, his giving to the Lord. We know, of course, that in the Old Testament, what was required was a certain portion of their agricultural income or regular income that went to the Lord. This Pharisee is saying, I tithe all that I get. All of my income, everything that I have, everything that comes into me, I go the extra mile. I tithe everything of something that I get, of all that I get. In other words, the Pharisee in his prayer gives thanks to God that he's not like the great sinners over there. And as he comes before God in the temple, and the sacrifice that's being made, he gives thanks to God and tells God how righteous and devoted he is. In his prayer, there's no mention of sin and that he's a sinner. In his prayer, there's no thankfulness for the sacrifice that's being made and that is offered. In his prayer, there's no mention of the need of God's forgiveness. He is what is described by Jesus in the introduction as one who trusts in himself that he is righteous and treats others that are sinners with contempt. This is what the Pharisees have done all through the Gospel of Luke. And again, as Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees, as Jesus is going to the home of people that have repented of their sin and have come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they are critical of Jesus because he is eating with what they view as great sinners of the city. And now in a parable, where in so many of the other parables thus far, Jesus does not give names and Jesus does not give identity. He now is identifying the Pharisees specifically in this parable as those who trust in themselves that they were righteous and treated others that were sinners with contempt. But now, in contrast to the Pharisees' prayer, we have the tax collector's prayer. Now, remember the description I gave to you earlier of the tax collector. He worked for the Roman government. He collected taxes on his very own people on behalf of the Roman government that had conquered them and ruled over the people. He was viewed in the eyes of society as one of the greatest sinners there could be. And so the tax collector, verse 13, is standing far off. He doesn't think he should be before the temple and before the sacrifice of the Lord. We're told that he would not even lift his eyes. Notice where it says, to heaven. He doesn't lift his eyes to heaven because he doesn't think he's worthy to lift his eyes before God, because he is such a great sinner. He's not worthy to be there. He's not even just described as not worthy to lift his eyes to the temple, but his eyes to heaven, because it is directing us to God. He doesn't think he's worthy to be in the midst of the people of God. He doesn't think he's worthy to be in the presence of God. He will not even lift his eyes to heaven. And then we're told he beats his breast. Now, typically during prayers, during the time of Jesus, people would cross their hands when they would pray, or put their hands crossed over their chest when they pray. But here we're given the description that he's beating his breast. And by the beating of his breast, the description implies that he comes before the temple of God and the sacrifice of God, and in the presence of God people, beating his chest with great anguish and agony because he knows he's a sinner. And then look at his prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You notice that both prayers start out with God. The Pharisee's prayer starts out with God, and then he expresses what he prays to God. Now, in like manner, the tax collector's prayer starts out with God, but the content of the prayer before God is completely different. Because as the tax collector begins his prayer is, God, be merciful to me. Now, the Greek word that is there in our Greek text is a little bit different than what the Greek word is normally used in the New Testament that is translated into English as mercy. It implies mercy, but it's not the same word that we see in other places, like when the Apostle Paul starts one of his letters and says, grace to you and mercy. It's a different word. In fact, the Greek word used here in this parable as the tax collector prays is a word that is translated differently in other parts of the New Testament. The word is translated in the book of Romans chapter 3 as make propitiation. Propitiation means the covering of God's wrath. You see, as the tax collector is praying, as he comes before the Lord in humility, as he identifies himself as a sinner, he is praying to God, beating his chest, and in his prayer, in the words that he uses, it implies, Lord, I am a sinner. I deserve your wrath and judgment for my sin. Lord, I need your propitiation. I need something to cover my sin. A substitute to cover my sin, to cover your wrath, a substitute to take the wrath of God for my sin upon himself. All of that is implied in the tax collector's prayer. And because of the word that the tax collector uses in his prayer, it does imply that he is likely there, and the tax collector, and the Pharisee, they are both there during the time that the sacrifice is being made by the priest. They are standing outside and praying. The tax collector has come into the presence of the people of God before the temple of God while the sacrifice is being made, and he offers his prayer, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Make propitiation for me. Cover my sin. Take away your wrath. May it fall upon the substitute and not me. The great sinner tax collector understands the forgiveness of God and the grace of God. And when the tax collector beats his breast when he prays, that is used one other time in the Gospel of Luke. Only one other time in the Gospel of Luke do people beat their chest in agony. It's found in Luke chapter 3, verse 49. Luke chapter 23, verse 49. For after Jesus dies on the cross, after the crowd had witnessed his death on the cross, after the centurion had seen what was taking place and said, "Certainly this man was innocent," all in the crowd that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. You see, the gospel writer of Luke, as he has recorded this parable of Jesus, as he records the detail that he was beating his breast, as he records the detail of the man, the tax collector, before the temple while the sacrifice is being made, saying, "No, God," or "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He is connecting it with the Lamb that would die on the cross, God's Son, Jesus Christ, who would go to the cross to pay for the sins of his people, who would come to fulfill the sacrifice that's made at the temple, so that after his death on the cross and the resurrection, no more temple sacrifices would be needed. He understands in his prayer his need for what Jesus would do on the cross of Calvary. And so, having contrasted the two prayers, the prayer of the Pharisee, the prayer of the tax collector, our parable starts coming down the other side of the mountain. They have gone up to the temple. The contrast has been made of them standing and their prayer. And now, coming down the other side of the mountain, what do we see in verse 14? God's verdict. Notice how it starts out. Jesus, in verse 14, starts out with a declaration. "I tell you." Whenever you see a phrase like that in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus starts out with the phrase in English, "I tell you," it means he's making a declaration. It means he's coming to a conclusion. It means he's going to tell you something about the parable he just told. And the declaration is this: "This man went down to his house justified rather than the other." Both men went to the temple to pray, but one man knew he did not deserve to be there. One man would not lift his eyes to heaven. One man beat his breast in anguish. One man said, "God, be merciful to me. Make propitiation for me, because I am a sinner." And he came down from the temple, Jesus declares, justified. While the Pharisee who went to the temple and stood out from the others, who prayed and thanked God that he was not like other terrible sinners, who prayed and told God about how righteous he was, he went down from the temple, Jesus said, not justified before God. Both men went away from the temple, back to their home, one of them justified, the other one not. And did you notice the flip in the order? Remember how we said there's a contrast in our text, a contrast that states two men went up, two men went down. And as you look at verse 10 and they're going up, you notice that there is a particular order. First order in the mention of them going up is the Pharisee and the tax collector. It's as if The Pharisee is mentioned first because he's leading the tax collector up to the mountain where he will worship God. And that's what the Pharisees were to do. They were to lead the people up to the temple and to instruct them how to worship God. But in verse 14, on the other side, when they come down, notice who's leading who. The tax collector, the one who was justified, is mentioned first. And the Pharisee, who was not justified, is mentioned last. As they went to the temple to pray, as one came to the temple with a heart that was a sinner and knew he needed God's grace and forgiveness, he is the one who leaves the temple justified. And Jesus declares, right with God. While the Pharisee leaves not justified and still a sinner, deserving God's wrath. But Jesus isn't done. As he comes to the very end of this parable, you see, he has one more thing to say. He concludes the last part of verse 14 saying, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Now, you've heard that before in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus has said those exact same words one other time. And that's why I read to you from the scripture reading from chapter 14, verses 7 through 11. Because in that particular passage, in that particular parable, Jesus concludes that parable with the exact same words. In that parable, Jesus is describing a wedding feast. And there is a wedding feast, for the Lord Jesus has come to earth. And in that wedding feast, as the Lord Jesus describes it, people are invited. And he has noticed how the Pharisees are always wanting to be in the place of honor, just like the Pharisee described in the parable at the temple. They want to be honored for their righteousness, for the things that they have done, for how they have lived before God. They want to be honored at the wedding feast of the Lamb as if they are greater and more distinguished than all the others. And Jesus tells this parable of the wedding feast that says, it's not about you. It's not about your righteousness. It's not about your place of honor at the wedding feast. If you come to this wedding feast, the wedding feast of the kingdom of heaven, you want to take the lowest place. For when you sit at the lowest place, you wait until the host of the feast comes to you and says, "Friend, move up higher." You see, the point of the parable that Jesus is saying in terms of the parable of the wedding feast is that in the kingdom of heaven, you want to be at the lowest place. You don't want to think of yourself as being worthy of the highest place by your works, by what you have done. But as a sinner, you come like that tax collector in the lowest place because you know you're not worthy to be there. And the only reason you can move up in the kingdom of heaven is if the host comes to you and tells you, "Friend, move higher." And he concludes that parable, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And now, as he tells another parable about Pharisees, about tax collectors in Luke 18, you notice he concludes again with the exact same words because he wants you to see something more than what he has already told you in Luke 14. In Luke 14, he's told you about the host and your need for the host to be the one to move you higher. But in the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, what he tells you more is how it is that the host moves you higher. The host moves you higher because the host will go to the cross. The host will be the sacrifice. The host will be the lamb. The host will go to the cross to pay for the sins of his people. He will make propitiation for the sins of his people, bringing about the forgiveness of sins, taking the wrath of God upon himself, dying on the cross to pay for their sins so that they can move higher. That Pharisee in Jesus' parable, he doesn't get it. He comes to the temple where the sacrifice is made, and he points about the sins of others. He comes to the temple where the sacrifice is made, and he talks about his own righteousness and his own worthiness and doesn't have any need for that sacrifice to be made for his sin because he doesn't think he's a sinner. And so Jesus gives the same conclusion that he gave before. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. If you exalt yourself by your works in the kingdom of heaven, when the Lord Jesus returns, you will be humbled. But he who humbles himself, that means you've humbled yourself to know that you're a sinner and you need God's grace and forgiveness to cover and pay for your sin, you will be exalted. Do you see how this parable is about so much more than just the manner by which we approach God in our individual prayers? During the Reformation time, Martin Luther understood the significance of this parable and its deeper meaning. He came to understand the doctrine of justification by faith, and he preached some 13 sermons that have been written on this particular parable. While prayer is part of this parable, it's not the main point. The main point is the content, the contrasting prayers of the two men, and how they understood how you can be made right with God. It's not about what you do, like this Pharisee prayed in his prayer. It's about knowing there is nothing you can do because you need God's grace and mercy like the tax collector prayed in his prayer. In the midst of a sinful world, we have to be careful that we do not take on the thinking of the prayer of the Pharisee. Oh God, we thank you that we are not like those extortionists out there, those unjust people who treat people unjustly, those adulterers who do those wicked things, those wicked tax collectors. We thank you that we're not them. We go to church every Sunday. We pray. We have gotten involved in all kinds of things for you. We're not like those other people. But in this parable, Jesus clearly teaches that those who come before God and his Lamb and pray the sin of the tax collector, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Those are the ones who walk away from the worship of the Lord, as Jesus declared, justified, going to their home. Listen carefully to verse 3. Of the words of our closing hymn we're about to sing. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Fount I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this text which puts before us the contrast between these two men. And we rejoice, Lord, that as our Savior told this parable, He is teaching his people about his grace and salvation. For Lord, no matter how great our sin, our Savior has died on the cross to pay for the sins of his people. We pray, Lord, that you would give us humble hearts, that we may come in agony because we are sinners, and pray that we are sinners and in need of your mercy and grace. That, Lord, we may see that our only hope is not in ourselves or what we do or how we live before you, but our hope is only in the Savior who died on the cross, who paid for our sins, who washed them away with his blood. And Father, we rejoice that all the praise, all the glory goes to him. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.